Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Weekend off with the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, get it over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so look for a brand new one of them tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. Don't forget the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan is the man with three E's.
All right, well, Dan, you know, today I did receive, you know, yesterday, I don't know what happened. I didn't get an excuse. I didn't get nothing for a Mr. Fantasy FanDuel lineup. Today I got the lineup. So here's what we got going on today for the, well, 6:05 at mine and Dan's area here, the main FanDuel lineup for the night. Mr. Fantasy is going with Jose Urena of the Marlins as his pitcher for $6,200. He also has JT Realmuto of the Marlins as his catcher for $2,700. First base is Matt Carpenter of the Cardinals for $4,300. Second base is Jason Kipnis of the Indians for $2,800. Third base is a very familiar name here for Mr. Fantasy, Jed Jorko for $3,500 of the Cardinals. Shortstop is Zach Cozart of the Reds for $3,300. And his outfield consists of Giancarlo Stanton of the Marlins for $4,200. Stanton's teammate Marcell Ozuna for $4,000. And Billy Hamilton of the Reds for $3,800. So again, it's Urena of the Marlins pitching, Realmuto of the Marlins catching, Carpenter of the Cardinals at first, Kipnis of the Indians at second, Jorko of the Cardinals at third, Cozart of the Reds at short, and the outfield is Stanton of the Marlins, Ozuna of the Marlins, and Hamilton of the Reds. So there you go. Good luck. I hope you win some money. Dan, you'll notice he has four Marlins, two Cardinals, and two Reds. So he kind of loaded up on the Cardinals against the Braves, and I guess we'll see how it works out for him.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go with that one tonight.
So, you know, yeah, I did a main lineup myself, not to go into too much detail. Here's just kind of what I came up with. I went with Rick Porcello of the Red Sox as my pitcher, Jet Bandy of the Brewers as my catcher. God, I forgot his first name. What's Yonder? That's it. Yonder Alonso of the A's at first. DJ LeMahieu of the Rockies at second, Mikel Franco of the Phillies at third, Elvis Andrews of the Rangers at short, and my outfield is Aaron Judge of the Yankees, Yomani Tomas of the Diamondbacks, and Hunter Renfro of the Padres. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, Dan, I was debating you a little bit off air here before we got started. You know, I seem for whatever reason to have better luck in these later leagues when there's a little bit smaller sample size to go with. Now, tonight they have the 8:40, what they call late night, which has four games, and then the 10:07 after hours, which has just two games. What I'm trying to decide is, do I go with Johnny Cueto or do I go with Clayton Kershaw?
You might as well go with Cueto. What were Mr. Fantasy's first, second, and third outfielder?
He has Giancarlo Stanton, Marcell Ozuna, and then Billy Hamilton.
Yeah, and then the first baseman, second baseman, as I meant to say.
First base is Matt Carpenter, and then second base is Jason Kipnis. So, and oddly, Kershaw is actually under 10 grand. He's at 9,800. Cueto is 9,700. So whichever guy you go with, it's going to be a little, you know, a little pricey. The other pitchers, I'm just not sure how much, if I would have any confidence in any of the other ones. I mean, it's Jordan Zimmermann, Patrick Corbin, Matt Shoemaker, Scott Feldman's going for the Reds. He is coming off that shutout. Tyler Chatwood's pitching for Colorado. I know he's been decent, and it's Tyler Glass now for the Pirates. I just don't know how much confidence I have in anybody besides Kershaw and Cueto.
I like Urania because he got me a win last Sunday.
Well, obviously he's not possible in this league because it's the, it's the later one. They're already, that game's already over. This is for the first one here is the, what is it here? Where the heck? The 7:40 start time. So, it's a little. Yeah, it's just odd that I seem to have better luck in these. I think I tweeted you this morning. I won $250 last night with the lineup I based around the Giants last night. So, it just kind of worked out for me. We'll have to see if I can have some luck again. But yeah, hopefully it's a good night or some kind of night. it would be nice to get on a little bit of streak and pick up some winnings. That would be a big positive there. So we'll have to see. But yeah, as always, I know all of Mr. Fantasy's guys are in the lineup. So if you're going that route, you don't have to worry about it. They're all set and ready to go. So you won't have any issues there at all with them being part of your group. So you'll be able to go out and hopefully win some big bucks. Maybe you'll win a league. That would be nice, huh?
That'd be very nice.
When was the last time you won a league, Dan?
Never.
Yeah, oddly, I think the one time I won on a free roll, but the catch to it was if you won, then the entry fee was $25. So I won $50 only to have to give $25 of it back as an entry fee. I'm like, oh, well, that kind of stinks. But that's, I think that's the best I've ever done in, any of these, these tournaments or whatever you want to, call them. So, I keep hoping one of these days I'm going to hit it, and that's going to be, that's going to be it for me. So,
yeah, but then you'll have to pay taxes out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I am wondering, if, because obviously, I've won more than the money I actually have in my account because of the losing. I do wonder if I was to take it out or if I was to close the account, would they charge me on all of the money that I won, even though, basically I'm only hanging out about, around $50 or so, or would I get a reprieve? How does that work?
I have no idea. think it'll be based on all your ratings right now.
Yeah, you know, just one of those odd little facts. I would kind of wonder, you know, how it would kind of sort out, or how it would shuffle out when you you know, you came right down to closing up shop, or however, you know, you'd want to look at it. I would be more than interested to know how that would play out. So, you know, I just figured I'd keep my money in, I lose it all, and then I would, you know, be done as a, you know, a fantasy player. That's kind of your strategy, right?
Pretty much.
You know, just go with it till, you know, it's not there anymore. I figure that's kind of the best way, right? So we'll see how things work out, but hopefully I can manufacture another win somehow. Even if it is just $2.50, still more than what I paid to get into the league. So I would be very happy. Kind of how my basis goes. As long as I win more than it costs me to get in, I'm okay with it. So. But yeah, all right. You know, I am. I've been dying for you to explain this to me all day, Dan. I've been waiting for the podcast to start just so I could ask you this one question. And I'm assuming you've got a fantastic answer for it. What in the hell happened to the Rockets last night?
They just threw in the towel.
because we were talking about it. You know, you mentioned right before, pretty close to we went off the air, Kawhi Leonard is out of the game. All right, so the Spurs are not only missing their best player, but probably one of the top five players in the NBA. So they're going to have to go without him. Okay, you know, no big deal. They had a little bit of advantage. They were up 3-2, so it was okay. And then they go out, and not only do they beat the Rockets, but they beat the Rockets by 39 points. How? I didn't watch enough to really know what goes on. I guess maybe this is part of the answer, Dan. The Rockets shot 28.6% from the field and 32.5% from behind the three-point line. And to make it even worse, they only shot 72% from the free throw line. So they really shot like crap, which has always kind of been their downfall. James Harden was literally an embarrassment. He was 2-for-11 on the night, 2-for-9 from behind the three-point line for 10 points. So I hope nobody played him in FanDuel last night. That would have really sucked.
That's probably why I didn't win.
Probably. They have the new plus minus for NBA and stuff. He was actually a minus 28 on the night and fouled out on top of everything else. So, I saw that and I was like, oh, okay, great. That's a fantastic stat line for a guy who could possibly win the MVP here in a little bit. Yeah. So the Spurs get to move on. They will go into the Western Conference Finals to face the Golden State Warriors. That series actually starts Sunday. So they have that going on. I mean, do you give, you know, the Spurs, the, you know, the Warriors have been another team that's been off about a week. You give the Spurs much of a chance in this?
Oh, they'll have Kawhi back when they start, you know, next week sometime. So I think they'll do great. actually give them a challenge.
Yeah, you know, it's always been, for whatever reason, it's always been an odd matchup with these teams, and for whatever reason, Golden State has always matched up really well with San Antonio. So it'll be interesting to see if the Spurs have made any adjustments or anything to what Golden State normally does to them. So we'll have to see how that goes. But of course, Dan, tonight we have good old Game 6. Boston is at Washington tonight over in the East. Boston's up 3-2. You know, this has been just a terrible series. I don't think any of these games have been close. You got Washington defending home court, and we go to Game 7?
I can't even tell you.
Which, oddly, if they do go to Game 7, instead of playing it Sunday night when the Spurs and the Warriors open, they won't play it until Monday. So that means the Eastern Conference Finals aren't going to open until at least, what, Wednesday? So the West will already have two games in because they're on the Sunday-Tuesday schedule. It's going to be goofy following along with this.
Well, I would say then that Boston comes to win. And, you know, Big Jack, I was 6.9 points away from getting a dollar in the NBA free throw.
Oh yeah, you got much closer than I have gotten at all in any of that. I'm never anywhere that close. I seem to get trounced. What the heck did you do?
I don't know, but it's, for me, I'm pretty amazed by it. I was 1,255th out of 71,000 people. Almost 72,000.
I'm going to have to look here. Right, see what mine was. I scored 246.6 points. That put me in 18,505th place.
I mean, that's not bad. You're definitely above the 50 percentile. I tweeted you my lineup.
Yep. Oh, okay. So yeah, at least I made that. But yeah, I just, you know, like the winner had 309, which was the kind of scores I was getting towards the end of the season. But yeah, I haven't been able to accomplish that at all in the playoffs. Let me see if I can get it to pull up how many more points I need to score to win. Well, how many points did you score? Do you remember?
At least 290 point something to get a dollar.
Yeah, so I had to find 50 points somewhere, you know, or 44 points somewhere just to win a buck. So yeah, I'm way out of the running there. You know, just kind of how my, you know, my NBA thing is went. I thought I hit on something, and I guess I was wrong. I was just like, oh, well, maybe next year I'll hit on something that works a little better for me. But I don't know. Are they still doing the freebies, or did they stop now that we're down to five teams?
Yeah, I just checked they stopped.
So. Yeah, that's too bad. I always like doing the free games. So it makes me feel a little better about getting into the NBA when it's free, because then I'm, you know, not just kind of throwing my money away. We shall see. But I did see today, Dan, I thought this was a little odd. I know Magic Johnson came out, and I'm drawing a blank. I forgot who the Phoenix Suns general manager is, and they specifically said that LeVar Ball will have no effect whatsoever on if they will choose his son, which, you know, I guess in reality makes sense, because at the pro level it's easy to shut this guy out. You know, it's not like he's going to be able to walk practice like he does at high school for his kid and try to take over. You know, if you're running a team, Dan, do you have any reservations about this blowhard, or you think you could just write him off?
No, I think you just write him off. And, I mean, you know, I don't want to make any judgments or say anything because, you know, the highlights show all the greatness. They don't show his entire game. So it's hard to really pinpoint, you know, what his game is like. But I think if anyone would know, it would be the Lakers scouting team as they're so close, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, that I know that's the team they want him to go to. You know, I know the Lakers, I believe the Lakers get no worse than a top three pick, and he's expected to go number one or number two. So they look like they have the best shot to get him. You know, the kid, like, you know, the kid, he looks, you know, I mean, from all the highlights and stuff, like you said, I mean, he looks like a very talented player. But, you know, of course, we could have said that about the guys coming in last year, and, you know, we didn't see much out of that rookie class. You know, Ben Simmons played about half a year, and Brandon Ingram, who was the second best player in the draft, didn't do a whole lot, oddly, with the Lakers. So you never kind of know. And this is supposed to be, you know, everybody said it's a deep draft. So for whatever that's worth, Dan, I guess we'll see this year.
Yeah, I mean, we did get to see a little bit of Valentine here in Chicago.
Yeah. So, God, when it's coming. I know the lottery is, here we go, the dates. The lottery is May 16th. So in 4 days, we'll do the draft lottery. And then in 10 days, the actual draft happens. So it should be rolling along here pretty soon to see how it, you know, how things shake out. You know, the lottery's already always kind of humorous to, you know, to watch. So, you know, and oddly, the team with the best chance to win the lottery is the Boston Celtics because they own the Brooklyn Nets pick. So it's the Celtics, the Suns, and the Lakers who have the best chance.
Well, and don't forget, the NBA Draft Combine is actually going on now here in Chicago.
So, yeah, I don't know if you heard the odd thing today was they were complaining about one of the players. I want to say his name is Frank Wright. I actually think he's Frank Wright III. Apparently, one of the questions he was asked by one of the teams was, how do you want to die? So, yeah, you know, that of course was a big, you know, a big point of contention. Obviously, it is a bit of an odd question, but, you know, maybe they have some reasoning to it. You know, I guess if they would have asked me, I would have probably just said old age. But he mentioned, I guess his answer was asleep with his family around him. So I guess that's as good an answer as any, right?
I mean, if the NBA team you're asking, you don't know if it's the judge's character question or the greatest NBA player alive.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been humorous. I mean, imagine if he'd have sat there, Dan, and went right now with all you guys because I'm a team player. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, but, yeah, I would love to know what the psychological nature of the question was there and how he did. You know, did he score well or, you know, because there's always that, you know, these odd, you know, reasons for these things. So, but, yeah, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, the game is actually the Celtics-Wizards about ready to start. It's 6 o'clock on the Mickey Mouse Network. So. You could possibly catch that. So, yeah, you know, I always wondered, Dan, you know, like we do all our fantasy stuff through Yahoo. And you know, it's pretty easy to maneuver and you know, do all the other stuff. Well, this year for the first time, one of my friends set up an ESPN league, you know, on their website. And I thought, okay, well, you know, he asked me to join, so I jumped in. And the weird part is today I was sent a trade. And Dan, I can't tell you what the trade was because it doesn't appear on my team page. And there is nowhere to look for it.
They could have canceled it already.
So, oh no, okay, here, I found it. All right, Dan, you ready for this one? This guy wants to give me Joey Votto and Mike Leake for Paul Goldschmidt and John Lester.
Well, I mean, at least it wasn't three crappy players for one.
Yeah, now, you know, I know Mike Leake is off to a good start. You know, I'll give you that. But, yeah, I'm not taking this trade. Sorry. You know, not going to happen. Sorry, you know, good luck. I'll have to go in later and look at the team and see if I can counter somewhere, but yeah.
Well, no, I always, with trades like that, I always counter with just as ridiculous of a trade offer.
So yeah, you know, I'll have to look and see if he's got somebody I can send, and then you know, do stuff. I do need to add a relief pitcher though, because one of my guys is hurt. And speaking while we're on relief pitchers, Dan, did you see that the Mets have lost their closer? And they don't really kind of know more or less when he's coming back. You know, he had surgery today. And they said it's going, they put it in months. And, you know, I mean, this team is just, you know, has any other team been more hurt than the Mets? It just seems like they're injured all the time.
Yeah, the team has swept the Cubs in 2015 playoffs.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, just for, you know, more fun, of course, for the Mets is the fact that Matt Harvey gets to make the start tonight. You know, after his suspension. So now what, you know, does he have to, I guess that's a better question, Dan. Does he have to go out and have just a killer start tonight? You know, or can he go out and just be average Matt Harvey?
Tonight I was like average Matt Harvey. But after the start, he can go and blow up because I picked some guys against him tonight, so I don't want to really go.
So yeah, it could be it could be interesting then to see how that works out for you with good old Matt Harvey.
for him, you would get a quality start, get at least 7 strikeouts, go at least 6 1/3, and give up only 2 runs.
Yeah, and oddly, he's matched up against Matt Garza, who's actually been pretty good since coming back. And, you know, Milwaukee's been a bit of a surprise. I know they just put Ryan Braun on the DL, so, you know, that's not going to, you know, go down or be an issue. But, yeah, it's still, I still think it's going to be a bit of a tough night for Harvey against the Brewers. I'm not sure, you know, how he'll do or, you know, how long he'll go. You know, that's just kind of with baseball today, you just, you know, you never know. They seem to, hook these guys early for whatever reason. But let me see if I can find the lineup here. All right, well, here you go, Dan. Here's who the Brewers are going to run out against Harvey tonight. Jonathan Villar leads off. Eric Thames is second. Hernan Perez is third. Travis Shaw is fourth. Domingo Santiago, fifth. Jet Bandy is sixth. Keon Broxton is seventh. Eric Sogard, who they actually called up to take Braun's spot on the roster, is hitting eighth. And then, of course, Garza in the ninth spot. Now, the Mets did also, you know, not only is Harvey making the start, but they got your guy Lucas Duda back tonight. So he's back in the lineup at first base. Does his return help?
It helps at first base.
You know, I mean, he's your guy.
Yeah, but now we have Duda right thing in our league.
Yeah, I know. Somebody needs to punch that guy in the face. You know, that's okay. At least he's creative with his names. You know, he changes it and stuff, so we're okay. But we did already have a postponement as well, too, Dan. Philadelphia, Washington has been postponed. I think that was the second postponement out of that series already. So, or maybe it was last week they got postponed. But the rest of the schedule is it's pretty full here. We got the Astros at the Yankees, the Mariners at the Blue Jays, the Rays at the Red Sox, the first place Minnesota Twins, Dan. Who thought you'd be saying that in May at the Cleveland Indians? The Braves at the Marlins, the A's at the Rangers, the Padres are at the White Sox, the Mets at the Brewers, like we talked about, the Orioles at Kansas City, the Cubs at the Cardinals, the Dodgers at the Rockies, the Pirates at the Diamondbacks, the Tigers at the Angels, and, of course, the Reds at the Giants wrap up the night. So, Dan, you can probably imagine what my email box has been full of these last few days. You know, we have the first-place St. Louis Cardinals on a 6-game winning streak. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Against the 500 Chicago Cubs, who are technically in fourth place. The Cubs just on a 1-game losing streak, but they are 4-6 in their last 10 games. They've called up Eddie Butler tonight to make the start against the Cardinals. The Cardinals are going with Mike Leake. Would you like to email Schomburg Stu and get him off the ledge? Because, Dan, it is only May.
I mean, David Kampman actually put a segment together where he yelled at, everyone could basically get off the Twitter ledge.
So, I've tried to explain to Dan that you really can't panic until, A, the All-Star break. If the Cubs are 500 at the All-Star break, you can panic, or until they fall 10 games out of first place. And they're only 2.5 games out. So technically, if they were to sweep this weekend, they could move either into first place or right up there, depending on how the Reds and the Brewers do. So it's only May. That's always the tagline. You know, we start with it's just April. Now it's only May. So I don't remember what June was, but we'll get to that in a few weeks. You're as big of a Cub fan as anybody else. You're not in panic mode.
No, but I mean, I could still sit and look on the outside and kind of just let it ride out. And I don't know. I mean, the off season they didn't end here. They didn't fill the void with Dexter Fowler. Not that he was the saving grace of the team, but John Jay wasn't the answer. I think we talked about this. You should never pick up anybody to just let Albert Amora play. Kyle Schwarber leading off hasn't done anything. It's about as awesome as the pitcher batting eighth. Again, you put Schwarber leading off. I don't really care for it. I don't care for Bryant batting second. And I think with that lineup, the way it's put together, no one's really afraid because you don't have a guy getting on base right away. So if you had a guy getting on base in the first and second slot, then they might be more afraid to pitch to Bryant, Schwarber, and Rizzo. But they're nobody's afraid to pitch to them.
Yeah, you know, I'm of the school that so far this year the team has been poorly managed. You know, we haven't seen enough of Alberto Almora to even know if he's a major league player. They did a poor job of addressing the starting rotation in the offseason because they can't develop pitchers. So it's not like you can just go to the farm system and get a pitcher. They poor development. There's really nobody there to go get anyways. You'll probably see that in Eddie Butler tonight, even though he did have some decent starts with Colorado last year. So maybe he pulls one out of his hat tonight. And, you know, they really need him to give six or seven innings because the bullpen has been overused. And that, again, goes back to the poor managerial part here. Because even when a starter is having a good outing, Madden panics and hooks him just way too early. So, you know, there's too much talent on this team to really start to worry. You know, they haven't had any major injuries to their, you know, their core guys. And they're only 2.5 games out of first place, so it's not like they're getting crushed. I mean, St. Louis does come in as the hottest team in baseball. They're on a 6-game winning streak. But oddly, Dan, they're only 9-8 at home. So,
well, here's another one I just don't understand. Like, that's poorly managed. They call up Aramar Candelaria, who's a third baseman. One of their top prospects. Okay, but why? You already have Chris Bryant who plays third. Well, you know, with Ben Zobrist and Hayward being, you know, playing the 10 days, they put Chris Bryant out in right. But then I don't even see Candelaria play because you're starting Tommy LaSella. So what did you bring him up for?
Yeah, I've had a lot of questions with the way Joe Maddon has handled the team so far. And obviously, you know, we've said it here before, he's going to get a pass because of last year. You know, no matter what he does this year, they're going to let him slide. But, you know, Alberto Almora has 74 at-bats. You know, Chris Bryant has 137. He almost has double what Almora has. I really thought they were going to plug Almora into center field, let him play every day. You know, and I mean, he's not doing bad. He's hitting .284. So, you know, it's not like he stinks. And even John Jay in limited action is hitting. He's hitting .303. So, you know, these guys are producing when they're playing, but they just can't, you know, it seems like Maddon doesn't have the confidence in them. And, you know, when that happens, it's no use for you to even be up here. You know, right now, Almora would be better being in Iowa getting 4 or 5 at-bats every day to stay sharp because he ain't getting them at the major league level.
No, but, I mean, the real problem stems from the alleged new curse. You know, Boston doesn't have a new curse.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously I think the bigger question right now is I think Justin Russell is out of the lineup with a shoulder injury, so they may have a bigger issue there.
Yeah, but you didn't let me finish.
Well, you were getting choppy. I thought you were done.
Oh, That's why they were able to win the World Series in 2013, which technically Seattle should get a ring for, because that was a team he put together. But I don't know if you read the article yet. Because they have a, allegedly they have a digital ticket that kicked him out of the stadium. So now the legend of Woo-Woo comes in space for the last over 30 years as a new curse.
Oh, well, that's good. We needed, you know, we needed something. But, yeah, so I, you know.
Entertain me a little bit more with your son. Okay, like you get the wah-wah-wah button.
Yeah, you know, we don't have the sound effect, remember? So, well, can we get a goat? No, we got rid of, did we get rid of the goat, or does that count?
Well, I'm saying the new curse is running loose.
Yeah, I thought somebody, I was listening to somebody talk about him, and they thought he was dead.
No, he just got kicked out. That's why you're talking
Didn't they buy him teeth, though, or something, or a player got him teeth or something like that?
I don't know.
But, you know, I know you're wondering, Dan, here's the Cubs lineup tonight. No surprise, Kyle Schwarber's leading off. Chris Bryant's in the batting second, and he is playing right field. Anthony Rizzo's batting third. Ben Zobrist is fourth at second base. How do you pronounce his first name? Is it Jameer or?
Aramar, I think.
Aramar, okay. Yeah, Candelario, he's batting fifth. Wilson Contreras is hitting sixth. Javier Baez is filling in at shortstop, batting seventh. Here you go, Dan, the pitcher, Eddie Butler in the eighth spot, and then Alberto Almora actually in the lineup tonight, batting ninth. So, of course, you know, they'll face Mike Leake. The Cardinals lineup looks like this. Dexter Fowler's leading off. Tommy Pham is batting second. Matt Carpenter is third. Jed Jorko is fourth. Yadier is hitting fifth. Alzmendes Diaz is in sixth spot. Randall Grichuk is hitting seventh. Colton Wong hits eighth, and then the more traditional pitcher in the ninth spot, Mike Leake. So there you go. That's what we're getting tonight out of Cubs Cardinal.
My only question is, everyone else on the Cubs can play a position Batman and throws a dart at the board on. How come Rizzo only plays first?
I don't know if we'd want to see Rizzo play another position, would we?
Well, I mean, is it natural for a first baseman to play right field?
You know, it used to be, not so much anymore. You know, they always used to be able to play the corner outfield positions, both left and right. But now, yeah, they don't do that very much. So, you know, we'll see. I'm wondering now that they're developing more of these, what Theo coined as super utility guys, if we'll now see more first basemen who are more versatile. You know, because it went like that for a while. You know, first base, they always managed to, you know, be able to play the outfield, or in some cases, third base. You know, Pete Rose actually played some third base. So, you know, there were guys who could do that. So did Dick Allen, if you want to go back even a little farther. But, yeah, now it's, I mean, you look at kind of the guys around the league, and they're really just locked in as first basemen. So, you know,
yeah,
but yeah, it could be a little interesting.
Doesn't it just more or less go against what? Oh, God, I hate just talking about him. But doesn't it more or less just go against what Madden said? Because when asked about Javi, he said, you know, well, we don't want a guy going out there every day thinking that they're just in one position. Because then you kind of get your mind locked in, and that's all you think you are is, you know, a second baseman, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, obviously, yeah, he did really contradict himself there, but, you know, you also have to kind of realize, you know, what talent you're dealing with. You know, obviously, Javi Baez can play the multiple positions. You know, you don't ever want to, maybe you don't ever want to see Anthony Rizzo someplace else. You know, maybe he could handle himself in the, in the outfield, but I don't know if I would want to see that.
Yeah, but I was just, you know, kind of making a stupid point. Like, you know, don't come out there and say one thing that's kind of a generalized statement for what you seemingly mean for the whole team. But then when it comes to other guys, it doesn't count.
Yeah, because, to be fair, Addison Russell just plays shortstop. Could he play something else? I'm willing to bet he probably plays second or third, you know, if he had to, or maybe even center. But, yeah, they don't really use him anyplace else. So, yeah, you know, I just think it's, you know, it was just one of those statements that I don't believe he ever thought anybody would look that deep into when he said it. So, you know, and you may be the only guy who actually noticed that. I'm willing to bet there weren't a whole lot of other people who noticed.
Yeah, because it just, I don't know, just kind of cracked me up when he said that, and I just kind of laughed because I'm like, Rizzo only plays first.
So.
And you're right, I forgot about Addison. He's only at short. But, I mean, that's kind of what I grew up with. It's kind of the way baseball was when I was a kid was, you know, guys didn't bounce around a whole lot. And I think that's what gave them better security and allowed them to develop their game a little better.
Yeah, you know, back in the day, when I started, you had one guy on the bench who came in and filled in all those multiple positions. So, it was rare that
multi-contract, multi-million-dollar four-year deal.
Right. You know, it was very rare that you had a starter play, like Chris Bryant does. You know, so far he's played third, center, and right. You know, so it's kind of like, okay, you know, Ben Zobrist is the same way. He's played second, right, and left. You know, it's just one of those things, you know, like the outfielders is always, you know, with the majority of them, they can play all three or at least can play both corners.
Yeah.
You know, while they are all a little different, you know, they can figure it out as it goes along. So, you know, that's not too bad. But to have an infielder, you know, to have a guy who can play, you know, like in Bryant's case, can actually play probably five positions because he can play first. And he can clearly play all three outfield spots, you know, and he's an all-star third baseman. You know, that's rare. And especially to be that talented, you know, normally those guys aren't that good.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, even with him playing all those positions, I still see him as a third baseman. I don't, you know, it's like, oh, well, the team's down because of, you know, the injuries, so. He's going to play here. Oh, okay. You know, but when I think of him, he's still a third baseman, even though, you know, he's probably not the best third baseman in Chicago because he doesn't play there full time. By the way, it's Hawk alarm clock giveaway to go tomorrow. Comiskey, guaranteed rate. There you go.
Yes. So. Yeah, well, you know, you got to remember also, you know, the Cubs actually have doubts on if Chris Bryant is going to be a third baseman for his whole career. You know, remember when they brought him up, they originally thought of making him a full-time outfielder.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just wonder if maybe it's something in that organization where they just can't decide on where they want to play guys.
Well, I mean, when you only draft middle infielders, and third baseman, you know, you never know who's going to be what, because everyone plays, everyone that's drafted, all your top prospects all play the same damn position. That's why Ian Happ is.
Well, Schwarber was a catcher.
Yeah, but remember when we went to go see him catch? What was he doing?
Yeah.
That's when we discovered that minor league ball doesn't have pitchers batting and they have DHs. You know, But in retrospect with that, though, Wilson Contreras had turned out to be a great catcher. So it's kind of hard to have two catchers like that. And Montero must really want to keep a job or trying to get signed again next year, because his hitting numbers are up there. But it is just May. And I think we'll go with, whoa, it's June? Is that what we'll go with? Whoa, it's June?
Yeah, I know we had one last year, and I forgot what it was. Yeah, so that's a good one, though. Whoa, it's June. I like that. So, you know, because I believe, you know, I like August. I know it's holy crap, it's August, you know, so.
Yeah. We're trying to keep it PC. or politically correct or whatever.
But yeah, you know, like I think this weekend series can tell, you know, a little bit, even though it's this early. You know, I think if the Cardinals come out and play well, while it doesn't mean a whole lot in the long run, I think it gives them a little bit of confidence against the Cubs, and I think they need that. You know, because you are looking at a team, I mean, I don't care what the record is or what anybody says, that is, you know, just extremely talented, especially from an offensive standpoint. You know, and I know Arrieta has had his struggles, you know, for whatever reason, can't get out of the first inning now without giving up runs. You know, but Lester is still very good. And, you know, while I'm not a John Lackey fan, he manages to give you, quality stuff here and there. And, yeah, and I mean, he, you know, you can't say he doesn't battle. You know, I mean, he's going to go out there and give you what he's got, you know, good, bad, or whatever. And, you know, he's going to give it to you. So, you know, it could be, you know, more than anything, Cardinals, a confidence builder.
Yeah. But, you know, like we said, it's just May. And, I mean, if the team's going to slump, what was it last year? I forgot exactly after the All-Star break what month it was when they just, you know, had probably the worst month of their season and were still able to come out on top. I mean, I'm not super worried about it. Like I always said, I'd rather it be now than in September. But, you know, the other side of the coin is there a playoff hangover? You know, kind of like they talk about in hockey, you know, this team collectively, especially this pitching staff, the main core, you know, like you mentioned, Lester, Lackey, and Arrieta, you know, that's two postseasons. And, you know, you add on that what extra month of baseball. So now you've got 7 months instead of just, you know, the regular six. Do you think that has anything to play with it? Play into it, or do you think the off season, you know, the guys take their time and, you know, are still able to get quality rest, you know, December and January?
Yeah, you know, you would like to think they did, and you know, and they were smart enough to get the rest, but you know, you wonder, and I know, you know, of all the guys who oddly has kind of stepped up as a leader, I thought Miguel Montero made a good point when he mentioned that some of the guys came back this year feeling entitled because, you know, they won it all. And, you know, you just wonder if maybe they need that little wake-up call. And, you know, once they kind of get the, you know, the reality shock or whatever you want to call it, that, you know, it's a serious game and we've got to get going, you know, they'll be fine.
You know, and the other thing that was brought up within, you know, the last few weeks, I can't remember exactly, was all the celebratory stuff. I mean, granted, we're not, you know, we haven't seen a Super Bowl here, and you know, since I was learning to ride a bicycle. NBA championships, you know, went a little crazy. But as far as it goes for baseball, I mean, I really don't remember what the White Sox did the following season aside from the ring ceremony. But I mean, do you think any of that, maybe there's, like you said, Montero said with the entitlement, do you think any of that played into it too? Because it was like, you know, you did the ring ceremony, you did the banner, you did this, you did that, and it seemed like the first full week, almost 2 weeks of the season started off with all these, you know, all this pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, you know, I do think that may have had something to do with it, and that may have where he kind of got his entitlement deal from. You know, because like you mentioned the, you know, the playoff with the Bears. You know, one of the interesting things about that 1985 team is if you ask a lot of experts, they believe they should have won multiple championships. But the, you know, whatever you want to call it, you want to call it a Super Bowl hangover or however you want to look at it, you know, with all the commercialization and stuff those guys did, they really, you know, almost got upset with each other. You know, like there were players upset with Mike Ditka for all the commercials he did.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And, you know, you wonder if maybe there's a little of that going around because, you know, this team was out, you know, on the media trail. You know, I mean, they did the Saturday Night Live thing and, you know, I'm sure they did other, you know, quite a few other things, you know, not only locally, but nationally, you know, they were out there. So yeah, you know, it's always a question you can ask. And like you mentioned, it seemed like the opening ceremony went on for 2 weeks.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm the Cubs fan and all that, and I enjoyed it. But I don't know. To me, the banner raising seemed a little over the top. You know, I don't know. Some of it, I just feel like it was just going on too much.
Well, you know, is that a thing where they had to do it bigger and better than everybody else?
Well, I mean, yes, because, you know, it was 100 years, so they've never, you know, was still preparing us for another 100.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you hope not. Well, you wouldn't be here to know it, so.
No, I wouldn't. So. My great-grandkid.
But, yeah. Hopefully, you and Mr. Fantasy's great grandkids will.
Well, he should be having great grandkids anyway.
Yeah, it won't be too much longer. All right, the music means that Dan and I are headed out for the weekend. Now, of course, Dan gets the entire weekend off. I get to come back Sunday at 10 a.m. with Mr. Fantasy for 2 big hours of Sports Time Radio. You know the deal while Dan and I are away, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Look for that new blog tomorrow morning. Get over to that Facebook page. Give that a like, please. We greatly appreciate that. Always check out the Twitter feed at Sportstime Radio. You can find Dan and I out there on the Twitterverse as well. As always, a big thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.
Sportstime Radio. Hey, get down.